Praised be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. Today's gospel is taken from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, "Love your enemies," Matthew 5, 44. So we'll reflect on that for a bit for today's homily. Our Lord says elsewhere in the Gospel of John, he says, "If you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments," John 14, 15. And St. John highlights that point in his New Testament letters. He says, 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." So if we're obeying the Ten Commandments, if we're faithful to the teachings of the church, then we are in fact loving God. But in today's gospel, Jesus goes one step further. If we're to be honest about it, loving our enemies is actually the most unnatural of all of Jesus's commandments. An enemy is anyone who's hostile towards us or hates us, or anyone towards whom we have animosity, or someone who we just really don't like. An enemy is also someone who's hurt us, and perhaps we haven't really been able to forgive them as of yet. They're at least still enemies of our spirit, we could say, if we harbor unforgiveness towards other people. So why are we commanded to love our enemies? First of all, as we've mentioned before, in God's understanding, love is not primarily an emotion. And just as a side note, since God is love, right, John tells us that, 1 John 4:8, God is love. Since God's essence, his being is love, we should pay attention to what he says about love, right? Because he will know what he's talking about on this one. He actually knows what he's saying. Love is not mainly an emotion or a feeling. Yes, there are affections tied to love, but not always. Love is choosing to do what is good and right. It's choosing and willing the good for another person. Feelings or no feelings, or even bad feelings at times, right? Parents usually understand this pretty well. Sometimes you want to strangle your children, but you love them at the same time, right? At times also, I'm sure this applies to spouses too. You love your spouse, but I'm sure sometimes you just can't stand being around them. At the farm here, not too long ago, we finished a series of reflections on the marks of love, which St. Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 13. Maybe you remember what he says there. The apostle says love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful, not arrogant or rude, etc. There are about 15 or 16 marks of love, which St. Paul lists one after the other in that letter to the Corinthians. And by the way, if you want to know what Jesus and Mary were like, just put their names, take that section from St. Paul's letter and put their names in the place where the word love is. And then you'll get a good understanding of who they are. For example, Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. He's not jealous or boastful. Jesus is not arrogant or rude. Can do the same thing with Our Lady as well. What's interesting in 1 Corinthians 13 is that in the original text, in the Greek text, every one of those attributes of love is a verb. So it's actually an action word. It's not an adjective. So love is not passive. It's active. It's an action. It's a choice. Feelings and emotions are passive. They come and go. True love doesn't come and go. True love holds fast. True love perseveres. We've probably all seen images of Our Lady with the moon under her feet, right? The most famous one is probably Our Lady of Guadalupe. The imagery comes from the New Testament book of Revelation, where we read a great sign in heaven in chapter 12. It said, "There was a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars." Revelation 12, verse 1. The woman of the book of Revelation is both a symbol of the church, and yes, it's especially a symbol of our Blessed Mother. Clothed with the sun, meaning clothed with God's grace. The image of the moon under her feet, what does that mean? Well, it means that Mary and the church rule over all changeable things. The moon has different phases, right? Sometimes it's full, sometimes it's a crescent moon, sometimes it's a half moon, sometimes it's eclipsed, sometimes it looks bigger, sometimes smaller, sometimes it even has a different color to it as well, right? The moon changes in these senses. Even the word lunatic that we have, our English word lunatic, right? It means someone who's unstable or always changing or periodically insane. The word lunatic comes from the Latin word luna, which means the moon. Someone who changes like the moon is a lunatic. Our feelings and emotions can be like the moon. Up and down, here one day, gone the next. True love is like Our Lady standing over the moon. It doesn't change. It rules over our changeable emotions. So love is meant to guide and govern our emotions, not vice versa. So when our Lord commands us to love our enemies, He's not saying that you have to like them or that you have to have good feelings about them, thankfully. He's saying that you have to do good to them. You have to choose to do that. In St. Luke's Gospel, on the Sermon on the Plain, where Jesus also tells us to love our enemies, there He gives us practical examples of how we are to do that. Jesus says, "Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." Luke 6, verses 27 and 28. So doing good to people who hate us, speaking good to them, and even about them, means that we have to at least see the good in them or see the potential for good in them. There's potential for good in everyone. Also, praying for those who've abused us doesn't mean you have to choose to interact with abusive people, but we do have to pray for them. Those are all expressions of love, and they are very counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense on a natural level to do these things, but it's God's logic. It's the logic of the kingdom of God. It's actually not irrational. We would say it's super rational. It's above and beyond human reason. The ancient writer, Christian writer Tertullian, says that, quote, "loving our enemies requires an act of the will that's contrary to what's intuitive, an act that only Christians are capable of accomplishing," said Tertullian very beautifully. Why do we have to do this? Because we have to do it. Why do we have to do that? Why do we have to love those who hurt and hate us? Very simply, because God wants us to be just like Him. That's the simplest answer. Jesus and Mary, when they were on this earth, they loved those who hated and hurt them. We're called to reflect their character, therefore we're called to do the same as well. Why do parents often have high standards for their children? Well, in part it's because they want the children to be the best that they can be, right? God has also a very high standard for you. Why? Because one, you're His adopted child, and two, because He thinks very highly of you as well. He thinks the world of you. He wants the best for you. He wants you to be the best that you can be, which means that He wants you to be just like Him. A third century biblical commentator, Origen, said this. He said that God has left in us the traces of His image and likeness, and this divine image can be seen in those that are merciful like their Heavenly Father is merciful, says Origen. So someone who's merciful will suffer injustices, of course. I'm sure all of you have had to suffer injustices in your life. At times, we need to be able to suffer injustices if we're going to be like Jesus. Jesus, who suffered injustices essentially all the time that He was on this earth, when you really reflect on His life, He always suffered injustices. Being merciful doesn't mean that justice will never be done. It means I'm leaving the justice to God and putting it in His hands. He'll take care of it at the right time and in the right way as well. When we learn to live as God commands us to live, there's a peace and there's a freedom and there's a joy that comes with that, things that God's enemies do not experience. And we learn to live the way that God asks us to live if we have a real relationship with Him. If we learn to depend on God, spend time with Him, share our life with Him, and trust our lives to Him. The Christian faith is about learning to have a real intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, with our Lord, with the Holy Spirit. The more we give ourselves to God, the more we will become just like He is. And yes, we more perfectly reflect God's love when we love those who hate us and mistreat us, more so than when we love someone who loves us. Loving those who love us is a good thing, of course, but as our Lord says in today's gospel, he says, even the pagans love those who love them. Matthew 5, 47, 48. So the reward and the blessing come when we love those who are difficult to love. We love those who others say we can't or even we shouldn't love. God doesn't just love those who are good. He also loves those who are evil. And those who are just a plain pain in the neck, he also loves those people too. Jesus says he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5, 45. So very often the spiritual writers will tell us that if you want to take your temperature spiritually, if you want to know how far along you are spiritually, you'll know it in the way that you treat others. And how we treat others begins also in our thoughts about them. Very important. Love of neighbor is a good thermometer for measuring our spiritual growth. Sometimes we wish there was a different thermometer. No, that's the best one that we have, right? And we know that there are only two types of people in the world, as I said to one of the ladies this morning, right? There are two types of people. There are saints and there are saint makers, right? There are saints and saint makers. So if you're around a lot of saint makers, it's a good sign that God wants to make you a huge saint. You can think about it that way, right? At the end of today's gospel, Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, Matthew 5, 48. We often comment on this verse. The word that's used there in the original Greek, in the gospel, in the Greek is teleos. Teleos means whole, complete, mature. Teleos doesn't mean never making any mistakes. That's not perfection in God's eyes. And remember the context of that verse. Jesus is talking about loving those who've wronged us, doing good to our enemies, essentially. So let's connect that verse with a couple of other verses from Scripture, and we'll finish with this. In St. Luke's Gospel, in the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus says, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Luke 5, 36, the Greek word that's used there for merciful also means compassionate. So it can read, be compassionate as your Father, Heavenly Father, is compassionate. We said before, and we mean it, it's true, love is not primarily an emotion. However, in the Gospels, the emotion that Jesus expresses most is what? It's that of compassion. Believe it or not. At least a half a dozen times in the Gospels, you read how Jesus has compassion on someone or how he had compassion on the crowds. And then from that feeling of compassion, he always did something good for them. That's love in action. So be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. The other verse that will connect with that is what the Lord said to the Israelites in the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Leviticus 19:2, he said, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So let's put those three verses together. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So in God's eyes, being merciful, in this case, loving our enemies, being merciful is the same as being perfect, which is the same as being holy. Mercy, perfection, and holiness are all one and the same thing with God. Why? Because they're all expressions of love. They're all expressions of charity. So if we struggle, and I'm sure most of us do, with loving our enemies, some of us struggle with loving our family members, let alone our enemies, right? We need to ask the Lord for help in these things. As we ask him for help in living how he tells us to live, he will change our hearts. He'll make our hearts more like his heart, and he'll help us to see life and to see other people more from his perspective. So may Our Lady, our merciful mother, give us the great grace and the strength to do what's impossible in the world's eyes, to love those who really hurt us or who don't love us. So that in loving them, they may see God in us, and they may be converted, that they may have a wonderful, changed life in Christ. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.